all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Good evening, everybody. I am Stank Dog, your next American Idol. And I am joined tonight by one of our favorite co-hosts on the show. Welcome, Not Theory, back to the show.
What's up, everybody? It's been a couple weeks, but here I am.
And we have got some great stuff to talk about on the show tonight. As a matter of fact, this is going to be a really, really controversial episode. I don't know. Well, let me just give you a little teaser. Tonight's episode is going to contain, we're going to teach you how to commit fraud on any ATM in the entire world.
I bet.
How's that for a teaser?
Yeah, I like it. And if that's not good enough for everybody, then there's going to be lots of cursing later on when I can't control myself.
Yeah, we'll try, but we got a lot of stories that are going to be a little, there might be some screaming and cursing. And well, before we get into that, let's jump into the show and tell here and talk about some other things we've been working on. And if I may go first, I've been working on setting up a streaming audio server on binrev.com. So keep looking out for DDP Hack Radio, hopefully to start soon. It is installed. I spent this past weekend installing it and setting it up. By the way, today is Tuesday, January 20th, originally aired on Tuesday, January 20th, 2004. And just this past weekend, I set up Shoutcast server, got it up and running. It works. I have to do some things manually right now. But I'm going to be spending the next few days, the next week or so, configuring and tweaking it and, frankly, hacking it. And you and I were talking about that before the show. Basically, the one big, not problem, but the one thing I haven't got going yet is figuring out how to create a playlist, set up a rotation of the past shows and the things that we're going to air on the station 24/7. So once I get that up and ready to go, of course, I will post in the forums because I mentioned that I'll need some guinea pigs. We've pre-calculated what we estimate the bandwidth needs are going to be, but we still want to test it for a week or two to make sure that we're on target with our estimations. So, and we did some worst-case scenario type guesses, so we're going to run that for a little while before we actually start streaming some of the shows on it. I'm going to try to mix in some old episodes of BinRev Radio, RFA, Off the Hook, etc. So any famous speeches, maybe some of the conference presentations. I know some of those are made available, if possible. If anybody's got any good ideas or suggestions or even files that you would like us to consider airing or some other stuff that I haven't mentioned that you think might be a good idea, you know, of course, you can contact us at radio@binrev.com. So send me any ideas or suggestions or upload some stuff into ftp.binrev.com in the incoming folders writable, and we'll take a look at it. Now, like I said, it's not really available yet, but it's all installed, up and running, so hold off until I give you some addresses, and we'll give that a shot. It's not really as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought I might have some trouble, but it's very, very simple software. Very, very simple. All the control is done through config files, and I guess there's not really, there's some documentation, but it's so simple. There's really not a lot of detailed documentation out there, so I just got to figure out on my own how to hack it into making it do what I want, the way that I want. It's really made for on-demand streaming and or live streaming, and neither one is exactly what we're looking for. So that's pretty much what I spent my past weekend on, as well as other general stuff, updating the website, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All fun stuff.
Yeah, and you and I had some fun stuff over the weekend as well. It was Sunday night, right? Sunday night we had a little conference call on the con line.
Yeah, it was posted in the forums somewhere.
Yeah, I think a lot of stuff was posted in the forums. Got a little out of hand, but...
A lot of stuff that probably shouldn't have been posted.
Exactly, but it was all in good fun, and I think... I know everybody on the conference call itself knew it was all in good fun. Some of it spilled over to the forums, which, you know, even that I thought was pretty funny, but I hope everybody realizes it and takes it that way. It was no big deal, but pretty fun. I don't get on conferences nearly enough, you know, as much as I would like to. So it was a good time. I was on there for, gosh, I was on probably for maybe an hour myself, and I don't know, you guys were already on when I got there.
Yeah, we were on for a bit. Yeah. I was doing mostly, as usual, programming, so I wasn't too much into it, but
yeah,
whatever.
Hmm. Well, speaking of programming, what else, what's your show and tell? What have you been working on here lately?
Speaking of programming, like I'm always doing, been doing a lot of work on NPA.php, and people have seen some of the stuff that I've added to it. Let me think. Feature group B and D 950. That's 950XXXX, and the 1010 codes. You can now look those up by NPA.php. I spilled the beans on default radio about how we were going to have an aim bot that you could message, and it would look up NPA stuff for you, which is in my mind marginally useless, but cool nonetheless. And aside from that, working on throwing this all into a big website, who, we're not going to drop the name just yet until there's actually something there, but it's pretty cool, and I think only four people know what it's called so far. So.
Well, if it gets out, we know it's one of the four people, right?
What's that?
I said if somehow it gets out, we know it came from one of those four people.
Exactly. One of them is somebody that nobody on the forums even knows or talks to, so I'll take him right out of the loop.
Yeah. All right, well, and I guess people are going to assume, so I'll just say I know what it is. But don't ask me, I'm not going to tell you until it's time. But I saw some of it, and it looks really good so far, if I say so myself. I can't wait to see some of the other stuff you're going to do with it. So...
should be fun stuff.
That being said, let's get into the part where we start cussing.
Oh, perfect. That's exactly what I want to do right now.
You know what, actually, I'm not going to tease the listeners. I'm not going to tease... We gave them a little teaser at the beginning about ATM fraud, so let's just go ahead and get that over with so they can spend the second half of the show trying to defraud automated teller machines. How about that?
That's fine to me.
Yeah. Of course, people who know me know that I'm joking. However, this is a very real story. I got a memo that's circulating through the banking industry. It was dated December 30th. And some of you who know a little more about me know that I get my hands on a lot of meaty memos, I guess is a good way to say it. I get my hands on a lot of good memos and that most people might not see. And this particular one deals with, as I mentioned, ATM fraud. I guess the best way to approach this might be to read, I'll quickly read through some of this because it explains it pretty well. Yeah, it's not too long. The memo says, quote, "A new scheme to defraud customers has been detected, and all branches are urged to take note of the contents of this urgent spreading and to respond immediately." Well, they need some grammar lessons, but okay. The scheme makes use of devices attached to an ATM to read a customer's details on his card and obtain the customer's PIN. It appears that two pieces of equipment are placed onto an ATM. One fits on the ATM's card slot, and it looks very much like the usual ATM slot, except that it protrudes more from the surface of the ATM than the usual one. The second device, containing a small camera, is a long strip placed onto the ledge just below the light with a small hole in it facing downwards situated above the keypad. This, we assume, reads the PIN. Group Forensic Services have retrieved a sample fraudulent device. The item fits over the card slot as black, but we cannot be sure that the fraudsters will use this color only. Blah, 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 blah. I'll save you the rest.
Right.
And along with this memo, I also got a PowerPoint presentation. They were nice enough to give us a how-to.
Awesome.
So I have tweaked that a little bit to remove some names to keep people innocent. So I will post that actually on stankdog.com in the download section, because it's not really a picture I can put up in the gallery. So I'm going to put that in the stankdog.com download section. Check for that after the show. I'll probably upload it right after, at the same time I upload the show to the server. But yeah, but basically, as they mentioned earlier, first of all, before we go into the details of this, you and I both know, I don't know that I could do this. I'm pretty sure you could actually do this. I think you could make this happen.
Yeah, I think it's doable.
It doesn't sound that difficult. I know theoretically I would know how to do it, but I've never done, I'm not too good at hardware interfacing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I could pull it off and make it look real.
Most of the stuff you can buy off the shelf, and with a couple of parts you can toss it all together, if you've got the money to do it. And obviously if you're ripping off ATMs, if you don't have the money then, you're gonna have the money.
Exactly, you get it to work once.
Yeah, then you're set.
Yeah. Now, and you can see from, if you go follow up on this and check out in the download section, you will see that it's a ghetto job. There's no doubt. You can look at it, and you can see from looking at the details how it was done. You can see it. And I'm pretty sure I could do it, even though, like I said, I don't have a whole lot of hardware interface application. It basically looks like it's parts you could buy from Radio Shack, that are easily obtainable and cheaply obtainable. Basically, like they described, it's a piece that you put over the card reader. And since all ATMs look a little bit different anyway, they all have some differences to them, it's not very obvious, or it doesn't look like there's anything out of the ordinary or anything unusual going on, because for the most part, it looks like you slide your card into the slot. Well, what you don't realize is this card, this piece of plastic, I should say, just before your card slides in, as you slide it through this piece of plastic, which is, I don't know, maybe an inch thick, half an inch thick, you actually slide over two readers. One, the one that's built into the ATM, which is the second one, but as you put your card through this piece of plastic, which has a slot carved into it and looks like it should be there, you hit another scanner, very tiny, embedded inside this plastic. So it scans your card as it goes through, and then the real ATM gets your card, so it's not like the user gets an error. They're passing their card into the ATM, they do their business, their card gets spit back out, they don't know that anything has happened. And that's what makes this so dangerous and so scary. The second part of this that they mentioned also is the way that it transmits that information. Besides the card reader, there's a strip that goes from the far left to the far right, the entire distance of the ATM, which is, I don't know, 3 feet wide?
Yeah, something like that.
Is that, I don't know, ballpark? It also, it's very inconspicuous. It looks like a piece of plastic that's part of the machine, built into the machine. But what it is there is a, okay, first of all, getting the number doesn't do you a whole lot of good. Doesn't do you a whole lot of good, a debit card especially. Doesn't do you a whole lot of good without the obvious 4-character PIN code. So built into this long piece of plastic across the front, there's a tiny pinhole, and inside of it is one of those very small cameras. So it's aimed to point right at the keypad and obviously pick up someone's PIN number, see what buttons they're pushing, pick up the PIN number to go along with the number of the card that it just scanned in. Because independently, I won't say they're worthless, but they're pretty much worthless. So you scan it through, they get the number, you punch in your PIN code, they watch your fingers, and what it does is, also inside of there, besides the camera, right next to the camera, is an antenna, and I guess just enough hardware to broadcast, transmit that information to another computer nearby. And here is the part that makes, I guess this is how you would get caught with something like this. You have to be nearby. And I don't know if this runs on an 802.11 frequency. I don't know if it's a proprietary. I don't know if it's some total hack frequency. Would you have any guesses?
probably, yeah, it's probably 2.4 gigahertz wireless camera thing.
I would think that it, just for the simple fact that it would make it easy to intercept, they would probably do it on that, just because it saves them the trouble of setting up on the laptop or on the receiving end of it. So I would imagine, but I did not, I don't know if that information was made available. I didn't find that. But sends those results to a computer nearby, has to be close, within eyesight for the most part. So, again, possibly 802.11b because they don't have a wide range. I bet that's the case. It seems like you could also not need to transmit it if you could somehow store up, if there's some kind of RAM, some kind of way to store. But
oh,
see,
yeah,
video just takes up too much room.
No, the card data is actually pretty small. I think it's about, I want to say it's probably about 80 bytes for the whole card.
Well, yeah, you and I had a little card project going at one time.
Yeah.
We won't go into that.
Still sitting on my desk.
Yeah, right? But no, I'm saying the video part of it to pick up that
pin. Video part, that's what I'm saying. You can have a 2.4 gigahertz wireless camera to, you know, record all the key presses.
And it can be low quality, low res, black and white.
Yeah, and you could just, you could set up something to record it there. You wouldn't have to be there. You could just come back and get it when you wanted it.
But you don't think that would take up too much space? The video portion, even at low quality?
Well, I'm saying you could, I mean, if the ATM's near, like, an apartment building or something like that, you could just put a VCR in the apartment building and record that.
Yeah, that could be true if it's close enough, but,
So.
Well, there's a lot of other things, a lot of other mods that can be done, upgrades that can be done to the system.
But.
So, anyway, why are we talking about this? I'm not telling people to commit fraud, of course.
Man, come on.
No.
Tell them to do it.
No, I can't come out and tell them. Just like you can't come out and tell people to put trampolines on the roof.
Well, yeah, I can. Put trampolines on the roof. Do it now.
I don't want them coming after me. No.
Don't put trampolines on your roof. Just wait till mine comes out and you can buy it.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be custom made and
it'll be all approved and everything.
Safety nets and all that kind of good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Or no, better yet, bungee, man. Let them jump over the side of the roof and bungee back.
Oh, and smash right into the side of the building. Owned.
Oh, that's a great visual.
Oh, jeez.
Now, why? This is, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, maybe I'm goody two-shoes. I don't know. It's stealing. I mean, there's some relation. I don't know. I'm not going to say there's relation to hacking. It is of interest to hackers because of the technical aspect of it. I thought it was ingenious in its simplicity. It's very, very simple, but very easy to pull off. That's what interested me. Like I said, I have never done anything like this, setting up hardware interface. But I think I could do this. I really do. It's so simple. I wonder where they did testing on this. You'd have to do some testing programs to, you know, iron out the bugs. But I don't think that this is all that difficult. This is stealing. There's no way that I can think to justify this. There's no reason. It's absolutely wrong in my eyes anyway, in my humble opinion. But it is interesting. That's all I'm going to say. Cheap. Not that difficult to put. Anybody could do it, but again, I'm not endorsing it. We at BinRev Radio do not support such activities.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and that's all I have to say about that. That was my Forrest Gump impression. That's as good as it gets, sorry.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
now I wonder, again, this was dated December 30th, so it's fairly recently, within the last couple weeks. I wonder if they've caught anybody with this. I wonder how they found out about it, actually. Something probably fell off the machine, and that's the only reason they caught.
Yeah, somebody probably called the bank or called the police.
Probably some double sticky tape got old and the piece fell off or something like that.
Yeah. Well, they were doing this, there were a bunch of guys doing this in England. Something very similar, not as, not with all that little camera there. They had a camera mounted in, like, on the building or in a tree somewhere that was catching these, people doing the keystrokes, and they caught those guys because they got so damn greedy that they took so much money from the bank that they just staked the place out and they caught them. So that's how it went down there.
Yeah, and I've heard several stories of people who replace the ATM machine with a fake one.
Yeah, that thing's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty clever, especially if it's, you know, if it's in a brand new location. People are like, oh, look, there's finally an ATM in my neighborhood. Yeah,
exactly.
Neighborhood for like 3 days.
And you know, they'll put their card in, and you can very easily, you don't even have to go through any kind of work of writing an interface with screens and fooling. All you got to do is get the number and the PIN, and then you can go do whatever you want with that. So all you can do is simply write a screenshot and display it on the screen that says, sorry, unavailable at this time. You've already got their card and their PIN number from putting it in. Then you display the error. You've got what you want. So you don't actually have to go through the whole process of tricking them or fooling them or dispensing any money, obviously.
Yep.
You know?
And magstripe writers are really cheap. They're only like a couple $100 for a really good one. That's it.
Yep.
You're all set.
And in that industry, $100 you can make back pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So
I think even the little ATMs have like 10,000 in cash in them. So
really,
yeah, you get a little business going there. Make a decent amount of money, ten grand a day.
Actually, I have a friend who shall remain nameless who may be able to get me a lot more detail about the ATM machines. We will see. Haven't spoke to him in a while, so I'll follow up with him and see if we might possibly have enough information for maybe an article in BinRad magazine.
Cool. Any information on those ATMs that run Windows? I haven't heard anything about those in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think someone posted in the forum some information about that, but I haven't really had time to do any research on it myself either.
It's kind of stale, I guess. Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Oh, well. Now, that being out of the way and everybody's off scurrying, researching on the web, trying to figure out how they can make $1 million from the ATM machines. We just half the audience probably just logged off. And they're going to miss us trying unsuccessfully to control our language. Because the next story is the one that really, actually the next probably two stories we're going to cover kind of get on my nerves. But the first one, I pulled this out of my local paper. But this is from the Associated Press, so you can find it online. And it is, let's see, from someone called May Wong, M-A-Y-W-O-N-G, May Wong. And it is a report that mapping services are, quote, too convenient.
Uh-oh.
Mapping services too convenient? Well, gee, stank dog, I'm confused. I thought the whole point of a mapping services was to provide convenience and giving addresses and finding information. Isn't that the whole point?
Nope, that's not it.
No. See, information is bad. We should never, ever share information because information can be used in a negative way. The first line of this article says, quote, the first two words are just, the first line of this says, quote, serial killer Mari Travis used an online mapping service to show a newspaper reporter where he dumped a body. End of quote.
Okay, now what's the problem with that?
Well, the first two words. So how do you start an article with the words serial killer and somehow slant that? I mean, you know that it's going to be negative from that, right? You know from the get-go.
I totally agree. I'm saying, what's wrong? The serial killer told him where the body was located. What's the problem with that?
What if it would have said, local clergyman uses online mapping service to show a newspaper where a body was reported or something, you know? Where he found a body or something.
Yeah.
So,
I totally understand. But the part that bothers me is that they just, the whole end of it just makes no sense at all.
Yeah, well,
so he showed them where he hit the body.
Right. The article goes on. It lists serial killers, stalkers, etc., 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 and how they used, or excuse me, I'm sorry, let me back that up. Pretend I didn't say that. How they could use online mapping services and lookups and stuff like that for less than legal behavior, I guess? And you and I talked about this before, and you made the point of they could also use the phone book to find somebody's address or phone number and something like that. Should we ban the phone book?
And a fucking map. How about that?
Yeah, we can't have maps. We can't have information of any kind in any way, shape, or form because look what people can do with information. We can't allow that.
Yeah, it's a dangerous world, man.
It's really sickening. Yeah, you know, I said the same thing. What is the point of this software? The article goes on and explains how easy it is to find names, addresses of people using MapQuest or MapBlast, online sites. We know Google, you know, you can look up, we've talked about before. And, you know, in this article it goes on, I'm not going to read the actual names other than the artist, the author, Mei Wong. I'll mention her name. But it goes on and mentions an interview or comments from this person. I'll read you a little bit. This 30-year-old is no stranger to the Internet, but was stunned recently to learn how easy it is to go online and get directions to her front door. All it takes is her phone number.
What? Okay, now she's an Internet user and she's never heard of Google. How is that possible?
Quote, I was appalled and petrified as a single woman living in New York, blank said. She vows never again to give her phone number to potential suitors. Now, yeah, I mean, what the... Okay, I caught one right there. I almost hit it. What in the world do you think... I just... It's mind-boggling. This is 2004. Okay? This stuff is out there. How are you, quote, stunned to know that this information is available?
Well,
we have been talking and preaching for years and years, we as hackers, for years and years, how much private information is out there and available. We've been saying it for years and years. This is not new.
Yeah, let's forget the Internet entirely. If she has a phone and her phone number is listed, you call up information... and they will give you her address because the information is listed. Now, if she gives somebody her phone number without the Internet, they can still get that information. Somebody will do the work for them.
Well, I have a solution to that. That's easy to stop. You ban phones. They just make them illegal.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, just take... I mean, because I don't want this poor woman to get stalked just because she has a phone. So let's get rid of the phone system.
Yeah.
Okay, that's for... Okay, clear out the phone, first of all. And as long as we're doing that, you just wipe out the Internet, too, because, you know, riding on all the infrastructure, the phones, it's all connected. Let's just get rid of all of it.
Well, how about we just get rid of people's street addresses, too? Because if you can't find where somebody lives, you obviously can't stalk and kill them.
Right, and you know, maybe we should not name people anymore. Let's just refer to people in, like, you know, pointing and gesturing. We won't actually give each other names so that you can't track.
Gesturing, it can't be regular. It's got to be crazy.
Yeah. You know, this is, I mean, we're making light of it because it's so ridiculous to me.
Yeah, this is...
And I really, you know what really struck me about this is I'm so shocked and surprised that here in the information age, in the Internet age, in this world we live in, somebody is shocked that this information is out there.
Yeah, there's a real easy way to stop that information from getting out there, and the first is to have your fucking phone number unlisted.
Which you have to pay for, which I don't like that idea. That's a whole...
I think that's crap, too. But I'm just saying, if she's worried about her privacy, again, forgetting the Internet, she can have her phone number unlisted. That's why people get their phone numbers unlisted. But if your phone number's listed and then it shows up on the Internet, don't be surprised that somebody can look it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... First of all, just to clarify, it's not an Internet issue. You know, it's been out there in some shape or form, but just the Internet is the buzzword that people like to say, oh, no, hackers on the Internet, Internet hackers did this, Internet hackers, Internet stalkers. Why are they going to put us all in the same thing? It's not an Internet issue, first of all.
It's even easier without the Internet. I call a phone number, I give them this person's phone number, they give me the address. I don't have to boot up my computer, I don't have to make sure that Mozilla works, I don't have to go to a website, I don't have to type anything.
Yeah.
Hold on for me.
You know, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing inherently wrong with information. It's how you use information. That's why it makes me mad every time somehow freedom of information is the problem. So let's get rid of information and that's problem solved. That's the way these people think. We don't listen, we're not going to blame the serial killer himself or herself. We're not going to blame the stalker. Let's blame the tools that they use to get the information.
Yep.
You know, that's just such a ridiculous mindset that people have got to get away from.
Yep.
You know, and let's not have, you know, a more efficient police force that can stop crimes and stuff like that. No, we don't. That's not the way to solve it. Let's ban access to all information, all public information. What the heck? See, I caught myself again. What in the heck are these people thinking? You know, and actually there's a funny thing, funny to me, I don't know, maybe correct me if I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm going to go back and read what I just read a second ago. It lists this young lady's name, which I'm not going to repeat. I got her name. It says, this 30-year-old is no stranger to the Internet. I know she's 30. I know she's on the Internet. I know. It says, I was appalled and petrified as a single woman living in New York. I know she's single. I know she lives in New York. And right next to the article, I kid you not, is a photograph of the woman sitting on her stoop. What more information do I need from the Internet?
Unbelievable.
Wait a minute. I guess the solution to that, obviously, would be to ban newspapers.
Yeah, that's what I think should be done.
I mean, seriously, that is so laughable to me. I'm trying not to laugh out loud because this article gives me enough information to stalk this woman. More so in the point of the article, oh my God, the irony here is just disgusting. It's just dripping. Dripping. I'm not getting angry. I'm laughing at this. I actually have tears in my eyes. I can't fathom the stupidity of the person writing this. Mei Wong. Okay? Shut up. Report the facts.
Well, no, the person writing it's an idiot, and the person who admitted to give, you know, or, you know, agreed to give her all this information is an idiot, too.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's okay, because it says right here she vows never again to give her phone number to potential suitors.
Well, how about this? I'll find out her phone number, and I'll give it to everybody.
Oh.
That'll fix her.
You know, we're not going to do that, but
no,
you know easily
it's
we could. And
for her to say...
That's the humor.
...and appalled that this information's online.
Oh. And then, of course, you would be the bad guy for doing that.
Yeah, no.
You know,
well,
so
first of all, I wouldn't do that. That was just...
I know that, but, I mean, you see, they would spin it and make it your... You know, they would... God.
But
this is just laughable.
What are you shocked about? That somebody can get your phone number? I mean, can get your address from your phone number? No, that's not shocking. That somebody can get directions from one address to another? That's not shocking either. So what's...
Apparently to her it is. And apparently to this Mei Wong chick it is.
Yeah, they've never heard of Google and they've never heard of MapQuest and they're just fucking complete idiots.
Hey, it's sensationalism. It's poor journalism, capitalizing on fear, something that we've talked about many times before. And Mei Wong, I know you're not listening, but God, report facts, don't slant your writing, don't scare people, don't infer that information is bad because it could be used in the wrong way. Oh, it could be used by serial killers. It could be used... Guess what? It could be used to get me to a party on time.
Yeah.
It could be used to get me to my job interview.
Yeah, it could be used to get me to a client's location.
Exactly. So that's just... It's so stupid.
Or how about even better? Let's say this. It does get me to client's location.
Yeah, I mean...
It proves to me that it does help people kill other people. Then maybe she can talk. But she can't.
Well, what about... All it takes is for a serial killer to get a DVD navigation system in their car.
Uh-oh.
Oh, apparently by her logic, that's the ultimate serial killer tool right there. That's the killer app for the killer.
And you could just drive in front of their house, wait till they come outside, and run them over.
Oh, God, man.
Out of the comfort of your Mercedes-Benz, you can kill people all day.
Because everybody knows serial killers got that kind of bling, right?
Of course.
It's poor journalism. That's the long and short of it. I hope this is her only time she's ever written anything in her life. I hope she doesn't ever write anything again because she doesn't know what she's talking about. She didn't do any research and facts. I mean, you and I know from our general knowledge that this could be gotten from phones, this infinite number of ways.
Life.
Privacy is something that we've preached about. I mean, come on. Seriously. And I also blame the editor of this paper, first of all. Honestly, I won't purport to know how the Associated Press works, but I assume somebody approved this article. So whoever editor made the choice to print this in the paper, whatever editor or whoever gave this permission to be released via the Associated Press, they're just as much to blame. One person wrote it, one idiot wrote it, one idiot approved it.
Yep.
So, oh man. Anyway... You know, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I didn't end up cussing as much as I thought I would because I started laughing at how ridiculous it was.
Yeah, I'm still really frustrated with stuff like that because people always use the words like, oh, they could do this and they could do that, and the people reading it, you know, take it as, oh, people do this and they do that.
Nah, accountability is just a word that people don't understand anymore. Hold individuals accountable for individual actions. Don't hold the public responsible for potential abuse from someone else, you know? I could take that onto a soapbox and for a whole nother issue, a political issue, and I'm not going to do that because that's not what this show is all about. But you can apply that mindset to a lot of other things. Punishing people or banning things, physical things, banning access to things, banning, taking away people's rights because of something might happen is just a ridiculous concept to me, and this is just one case where that, you know, where that exists. Oh, well, anyway, if that's not ridiculous enough for you on tonight's show,
oh man,
we also have another topic from a 17-year-old young man in Canada, I believe it was, named Michael Rowe, who decided at age 17 he would start his own software company. So what better name for his internet site than his own name, MikeRoweSoft.com. MikeRowe is the gentleman's name, the young man's name. He has a software company, so Mike Rowe Soft seems pretty fair to me.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he be able? Well, gee, it kind of sort of sounds like the big MS, the big Microsoft. So he has been given a cease and desist order from our good buddy Bill Gates and Microsoft, backed by the threat of copyright violation, copyright infringement for using Microsoft's name in a misleading manner.
Right.
Of course, he didn't use Microsoft's name. He used Mike Rowe Soft. But they, lawyers at Microsoft say that could be misconstrued and might mislead people as to what site its site belongs to and who it really is. Mm-hmm. Now, it's a very open question. I know I don't want to put you on the spot, but What is supposed to happen with this? Is this okay? Is this not okay?
Okay. See, this one isn't as simple as the other one that you mentioned before. The other case that I guess we'll get into in a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. This guy's name is Mike Rowe, so he has the right to use the name Mike Rowe.
What do you have the right to use your own name?
I would believe so, but I guess we'll get into that in a minute. But yeah, the whole Microsoft, you can't deny that this kid had the intent to use it as a play on words.
Oh, no doubt.
Because I know a lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, that's his name, and that's what he called his company. It had nothing to do with Microsoft. If Microsoft wasn't around, I have a feeling that he would have not called his company Microsoft. He would have called it something else. He would have come up with a different name for it. But it was convenient and semi-permissible for him to call himself basically Microsoft. So I have a feeling that's why he did it.
Yeah, and I think it's very clever.
Yeah, I think it's clever too, no doubt. But as far as copyright law is concerned, I think, I think that they could make a very good argument in court that they've established the name as a software company, and that this would be a name that's too similar and competing. Besides the fact that it's his real name, I don't know necessarily whether he would win this one right away. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure the first round he would definitely lose.
Well, and that's, you know, when you hear this, first of all, it's obvious, like you said, it's a play on words. A clever play on words, and I like that. I don't see why that should be anything wrong with that. Without going into too detail, I'll also refer back to the FuckFordMotorCompany.com,
right.
FordSucks.com, FordReallySucks.com, those type of sites.
Right.
You know, I'll refer back to that if people want to, you know, look about some of the laws about using another company's name, et cetera, et cetera. We won't go into that. But people who have been listening for a while know that I studied law somewhat, particularly cyber law recently. I'm going to put the URL up for this, first of all, on the show notes. So you can go check it out, and I encourage you to read it. But this is a very, very directly related case. There's some differences to it, but I'm gonna give you a little bit of history and another example of where something similar happened. And a lot of people have heard of this, and that is the case of Nissan.com, N-I-S-S-A-N, which, let's admit, when you say Nissan, the first thing that does come to your mind is the automobile manufacturer, formerly known as Datsun. Anyway, there's a gentleman by the name Uzi Nissan, U-Z-I, last name Nissan. He registered Nissan.com because he had a business called Nissan Computer Corp. Now, Nissan did not go out there and get their own name when the web, when the internet was taking off. They were not an early adopter. This gentleman had grabbed it and was running his business, Nissan.com, and I believe he had Nissan.net, and he was giving, doing some ISP stuff where he was giving people accounts on that box, ISP accounts, etc., like they were at the time dial-up accounts. But anyway, a similar situation happened. Nissan decided that they wanted that name, and this gentleman, whose name was Nissan and had a legitimate right to it just as much as Mike Rowe, you would think would have a similar claim to it. And what happened was, same thing, filed an injunction to stop the website for misleading people and that people were going to it expecting Nissan Motor Company.
Right.
Well, the biggest, and this is such a big problem that I have with the judicial system, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay off the soapbox on this one, but one of the big tactics that these companies can use is they can put the financial squeeze on somebody, especially a small business owner or a 17-year-old kid, a little individual. These companies have teams of lawyers, deep pockets. The financial matter and the cost of it is not a concern. But a 17-year-old kid or a single person or even a small company trying to defend themselves doesn't have that kind of money. So what you mentioned earlier is what I'm going to explain here in a second is about the layers and the levels that you have to go to in the court system before you finally might get a case to go your way.
Right.
First and foremost, they're going to get an injunction against you. It's very easy, and it happens all the time. You'll get a cease and desist. And that lets them, that gives the courts time to say, let us decide what we're going to let you guys do and how we're going to resolve it. Until then, we're knocking you offline. Now, first of all, the damage from that could be phenomenal. You know, some online sites only have a gestation period of 6 months, and then they're gone. They have 6 months to make their money, or sometimes even less. You know, if you're capitalizing on the latest big thing, or as seen on TV, those things come and go so quickly, you know, that you may lose your window of opportunity by something like this.
Right.
Well, the long and short of this case was that this gentleman, finally, when it was elevated layer after layer of court system, he was allowed to keep the name, Nissan.com. However, he was prevented from running any type of business activities on said site. When I say business, that means he can't have Nissan Computer Corp. selling his computers on there anymore. He cannot sell advertising on there. He cannot run his ISP that he was trying to start at the time to go along with his computer corporation. He can't even sell banner ads or anything like that. But he is not allowed to make money. Their finding was that if it's in his name and it's his site, that it has to be a personal site and cannot be a business site. If it's a business site, then it's considered conflicting or fighting with Nissan Motor Company. So they found that, yes, you can keep it, but you can't do anything with it.
Yeah, now that's counter to everything I understand about copyright law.
Yeah, and it's disgusting. Now, that's just what the lower courts have found. Now, again, he can keep fighting this, and ideally, and I mean, this may be naive, I don't know, Duell says I'm a cynic with this, but ideally you would think that if you elevate it to a higher court, even the Supreme Court in the worst case, you would think they would finally come to their senses and back up someone's right to have register their name, their site, and their name, you know? But the time and money and finances that it takes to get there are ridiculous. So when the court finally found that happy medium or decided that they'll let him keep it but not operate businesses, he just stopped there. I haven't heard anything on the case in, I think, over a year now, maybe two, at least a year, because I don't think he could afford to go much further, And I think it's probably caught up and slowed down in the system, which, again, like I said, by the time, let's say he does win it, it's been, I think this has been since 99, 2000 maybe. You know, now all of a sudden he's lost 4 years of his life fighting this, and whatever business he was running at the time, it's like the damage is done, you know. So he's got a site and he's decided to keep it up. You can go to Nissan.com to this very day, right now while you're listening to the show, go check it out, and you'll see that it's a site that says, I'm sorry, this really isn't a site because I settled with, you know, it just says I settled, I'm not allowed to conduct business activities. So it's basically his form of protest. All right, if you're going to give it to me and tell me I can't use it, I'm going to keep it for the sheer spite of not giving it back to Nissan.com. And I respect it. I think that's a cool move. Hopefully it'll keep elevating and go through the court system and he'll have some recourse of getting it back or some chance of getting it back. But again, the time and money that it takes to go through our court system is ridiculous. So again, I'm going to put that link up in the show notes. I encourage everybody to go read it. It's a very interesting read. It's a very scary read. And it's completely real of what's going on today in the United States and what's going on in our court system. So it's a very scary thing. Now, back to this case, Mike Rowe. Similar, but a little bit different, and let me explain why. In the Nissan case, you had two separate industries. You have the automotive industry, car manufacturer industry, specifically automotive manufacturer, I guess, and reseller, I guess you could argue that, but anyway. And then you had a computer corporation. So they're two unrelated things. In Mike Rowe's case, he's at a little bit more of a disadvantage. You'd think he'd be at a little bit better disadvantage because he even has his first name in there, Mike Rowe. I mean, yes, you'd think that's a little bit more in his favor. But because he's in the software industry, so is Microsoft. They're clearly in the software industry. And that is something else that the courts look for. That's something else in law that adds to confusion. And that's really the main thing they use to make their decisions in these type of cases. Can somebody get confused thinking that one site might be the other? Now, we can sit here and say, no, we know better. We know Microsoft. And who's going to get Mike Rowsoft confused with Microsoft? Well, the courts don't have that much common sense, frankly. So the court can say, well, they are in the same industry, and their names do sound an awful lot of like, awful lot alike. So he has that going against him, believe it or not. I know it sounds sad and pathetic, but the lower courts are gonna find in that favor, I would suspect, because they're in the same industry. If he was in a different industry, well, then the whole clever pun, Mike Rowsoft, wouldn't even come into play, but that's, I guess, neither here nor there. But the fact that they're in the industry is a cause for confusion. So what's going to have to happen is it's probably going to be elevated to an appeals court, et cetera, go up to a higher court, because cyber law is being created on the fly. We're making it up as they go along. It didn't exist. People didn't prepare for this ahead of time. So what they're trying to do, and this is something they teach you in law classes, cyber law classes, they tell you it's an emerging field because nobody foresaw these conflicts. Nobody thought ahead a lot of this stuff. And they're trying to apply old copyright law. And I shouldn't even say copyright. I should say intellectual property law. Because another concern that Mike Rowe may have with this name is not using copyright. It might be using a trademark or a trade symbol or a trade name. Microsoft is a trade name. When you hear it, close your eyes and you hear the name of his site, you do visualize and hear and see Microsoft that we know, that we all know. And that he has going against him. A trademark, a trade name. That's what they're probably going to get him on this. So even though it's spelled differently and it's a personal young kid, it's probably, I suspect anyway, that it's going to go against him. It maybe right up until the end. Possibly when it gets to the higher courts, somebody will come to their senses and find in his favor. But he's 17. Who's going to pay to take that all the way to the Supreme Court or whatever it needs to go to? Who's going to pay? How is he going to afford to do that?
Well, then again, I mean, you say that he may lose the first couple of rounds, but I know I was thinking along the same lines that he may lose the first couple of rounds, but if he got to the Supreme Court, maybe he'd win. But But then again, Microsoft could argue that they were doing business as Microsoft before he was doing business as Microsoft, before he was even born.
That is a true factor.
That is a fact.
That is a true thing that they take into consideration in court. That's part of copyright law. It's, for lack of a better word, whoever gets there first.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's another conflicting rule that they go by, and a lot of people have heard this statement before, but possession is 9/10 of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And he's already registered that site. If Microsoft was so concerned about it, why didn't they register it first? Why didn't they get it? So he's got it in his possession, so that is actually a plus.
Right.
So this is an interesting case, and it's not a straightforward and simple case, simple answer, because some things are in his favor, but some things are not, the way our intellectual property laws are written now and today. So what they will do during this process is this is going to be another groundbreaking case where laws are changed and written and created based on this situation. Hopefully, they will be done in an intelligent, logical, and fair manner, but I guess we have to wait and see. But the fact that he doesn't have the money, I assume, and this is why organizations like the EFF are just so fantastic and so invaluable, that they go and can fight for what's right and fight for our rights and help the little guy who's getting pushed around by the Microsofts of the world, etc., and stand up for them. But, you know, that's just the nature of our judicial system. And it's one of the many problems with our judicial system today. We don't have what was constitutionally guaranteed to us as American citizens. In my opinion, we do not have or not given due process under the law anymore. It's just not financially available to the common man. It's become such a mess that you can't get fair due process in this country anymore. I don't think so. That's just my opinion. But I suspect that this young man is going to lose. That's just my gut feeling. I hope he doesn't. I don't want him to, and I'm not wishing that he does. But from what I've learned in my study of law, he's going to be in for a long fight. And if he lasts it out all the way to the end, he's still only going to have a 50-50 chance of getting it in his favor, so I don't know if he'll take it that far.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to shoot everybody down, but I really think this kid is 100% guaranteed to lose. And the reason is because, in my mind, the Uzi Nissan case was cut and dry. He was in a different industry, and it was his name, and he had it registered before Nissan did. But he was obviously thinking ahead, and he lost. I don't know. I still, to this day, I have no idea how he could have lost. But he lost. And they said that he can't do anything business-related with the site, even if he doesn't even mention their name, even if it's just Nissan.com. But
he can't even sell banner ads.
Yeah, no banner ads, no nothing. That to me, is ridiculous.
And I'll tell you, from the legal standpoint, one of the reasons they won't let him do banner ads, even though he can't forget... Okay, you stop him from doing his computer business, that's one thing. But the reason they won't let him do banner ads is because they don't want him to do what's referred to as capitalizing on someone else's fame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same reason you can't go out and register, BradPitt.com or something like that, and then just throw up porn ads or any kind of ads. You can't capitalize on someone else's fame. And that, I actually kind of agree with that. I kind of understand that somewhat. When it's something obvious, like, you know, if I go out there and register InTheory.com, I think you'd be pretty pissed at me.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, really. And then I started publishing a bunch of shitty articles and stuff under your name.
Awesome.
So, anyway, he's in for a fight, and it's not clear-cut. I know a lot of people may think that it is, and, oh, it's really crappy, and, you know, a lot of people are just so anti-Microsoft, they'll automatically disagree with them. Just because they don't like them. But the fact is, they do have the law on their side. Right or wrong, the way it's written, the verbiage, Microsoft has it on their side right now. And it's mostly because of trade name. If you want to do some research, look up trade name. Under intellectual property law, look up the rules and the laws for trade names. And that's what they're going to go against them and get them as. So, It's and also, again, go to the site. I'm going to post the link to the Nissan case anyway, and I'll post the one to this case, of course, too. Go out there and read it. A lot of the things I just told you, like the fact that they're in the same industry, those are factors in the court. There's a list of almost like a checklist. Did they do this? Yes or no. Did they do this? Yes or no. And if there's a preponderance of the evidence in one side, that's how they use it to rule. So this is a confusing case because it's kind of split down the middle. If you look at Nissan's case, there's a link to, I'll put the link to the site. It goes down a list of what the accusations are. One of them, for example, he's obviously not in the same industry, right? We established that, and that should have been in his favor.
Right.
But if you look at the actual court, papers, the claims that they put against him, they actually claimed that he was competing with them in the automotive industry because he hosted a banner ad across the top of the site. Now, this is something that, especially years ago, people were trying this banner ad from, like, DoubleClick and stuff because they'd give them a penny for each, you know, ad viewed or something stupid. So every site back then had them. Well, in their rotation was probably an ad for Ford or something like that. So they claimed, oh, well, you're advertising for another automotive industry, so therefore you are competing with us in our own industry. So that is one of the rules that could be held against them. So, of course, Nissan tried to pull that in and say, hey, yeah, we want that point, you know. We want that off on the checklist in our favor. So if you go read down this list, you'll see the kind of stuff they look for. And it's exactly what I was telling you. I told you some of them. And you'll see all of the claims that were placed against them. It's very, very interesting reading. It's kind of dry, but if you like law, especially forging the law and seeing where it's going and getting interested in possibly changing it or at least educating yourself on it, these two cases are going to be very, very good cases to study. Highly recommend you go read them. Okay. Anyway, we got a little time left. Let's go into some lighter stuff. Let me see. Where's my papers here? While I find my papers, you can, if you had something you want to add there, I know I've done a lot of talking here lately. You go ahead.
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm just, my mind is just fried from the whole stupid Uzi Nissan thing.
Yeah, it's very frustrating and, I don't know, scary in a weird kind of way.
Yeah, it's a losing battle. And like you said, these guys all have, you know, infinite money, so there's nothing you can do, even when you're in the right.
Yeah, doesn't that just suck?
Yeah, they can just wear you down.
God, that sucks. Due process doesn't exist. Okay.
I have to say I disagree with that. Due process exists in the criminal sense, I think.
Well, that's true, yes, that's true.
But I don't know if, was the concept of lawsuits even around when they wrote the Constitution? I don't think it was.
I don't know lawsuits how we think of them, but right to a fair trial, of course, was around. Right to a fair and speedy trial and a jury of your peers, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I always thought of that as criminal, but I guess it had to apply to civil law. So. Yeah. Mm. I don't know. The law is just a mess, and it pisses me off every day.
Yeah. And then, you know, and lawyers, that's why there's so many lawyer jokes and people hate lawyers, because so many of the stories are negative, but...
Yeah. A lot of people say, you know, lawyers are like one of the few professions that don't produce anything. They just seem to take things apart. So,
well, I will say this, and it's probably an unpopular thing for me to say, but there are good lawyers out there. There are a lot of very good lawyers who defend things that are right, like the EFF. You know, there are people that are fighting for what's right. Unfortunately, there's no money in that.
Yeah.
The money is in defending people who are, well, you know, I'm not going to mention any names. As a matter of fact, I'm going to back off that whole topic.
Oh, man.
No. I was going to mention some cases in the news, but I'm going to back away from that whole thing. Michael Jackson, I'm through.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I'm not going there. All right. Anyway, let's pick up with our ongoing list here, 101 ways to save the Internet. Remind the listeners again, in case you haven't heard the last few shows, Wired Magazine has an article, 101 Ways to Save the Internet, has a list of topics, each one or two sentences long, basically annoyances and problems with the Internet, and some of them are easy fixes, some of them are suggestions, ideas, some of them are jokes, whatever. We're going through them one by one and just thinking about them and talking about them. Are they good ideas? Do we like them? Do we not like them? So today, let's see, we left off on 33, we're going to start with number 34 today. And number 34 is spyware versus spyware. Counter spyware shouldn't just find spyware installed on our computers. It should hunt down the punk who put it there.
Mm.
Well, I'm all for vigilante justice in general, but I don't know if you can get away with that because you might damage someone's computer.
Mm.
You know, somebody's going, who are we going to trust to do that?
Yeah,
that's the problem with vigilante justice, is you get one kook or nut out there who thinks they're going to hide behind vigilante justice, and...
Well, in a sense, I can see vigilante justice working against spyware. If you can figure out how the spyware works, and just, you know, if they're collecting information about you, just flood them with fake information and just make their database useless.
But what if they compromise someone's email address to do it, and now here you are taking down an innocent ISP who didn't know any better?
Well, of course, like everything, it's not black and white, not cut and dry, but...
It's a nice thought.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know if that would be able to be pulled off. Again, somebody would get sued in that situation.
Of course. And the lawyers, like always, they make out the best.
All right, number 35 here. You might have to explain this to me because I've never heard of this.
Oh.
They say link movie phone and Fandango. Cut a deal so we don't have to search both your sites for theaters. Now, I know what movie phone is. That's where you call and they tell you the listings and stuff, right, and the times that they're playing.
Yeah.
I don't know what Fandango is.
Honestly, I have no idea.
I've never heard of that. I guess it's a competing...
Yeah, I've heard the name before, and I've heard Handango, which I thought was like a Palm Pilot like restaurant guide or something. But maybe Fandango is like movie phone plus restaurants and points of interest. And
maybe one movie chain is on movie phone while another one's on a different one, because they're saying that you need to combine them.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, I guess we can't add much to that because we don't know what Fandango is. Somebody, radio@benrev.com, let me know if you've got this. I've never heard of it. Number 36, allow Wi-Fi roaming. The cloud and Boingo share their hotspots. Now, how about T-Mobile, Verizon, etc.? I like that idea.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Frankly, as hackers, if they don't give us their cloud, we'll take it.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know... I don't know. That's realistic reality of that. No, they're going to make money on those hotspots. They're not going to give them out.
Yeah, I was just thinking. The reality is, if it makes them money, they'll do it. If not, it's not going to happen. So.
I think it could happen possibly if I don't. Again, I have to admit, I don't know these companies, the Cloud and Boingo. I don't know them. I guess they make free public access in certain places. But I think, you know, everybody has the dream of the cloud, the wireless canopy project,
yeah,
of having wireless access everywhere. So I think if enough individuals and small companies intentionally made it available, that would take business away from T-Mobile and Verizon and their hotspots that you have to pay for. Maybe they would finally break down and make it free if the potential for income was taken away. I mean, if somebody has an alternative of going free to some other bookstore or coffee place where it's free, you know, they might be less likely to pay for it at T-Mobile, so maybe then they would break down and make it free.
I don't know. They'd still have to pay to maintain it, so they'd be losing money on it. I don't know if they'd be willing to put up with that.
Or outsource it to one of the other free ones, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess they could technically just sell the hardware that they bought to...
Wi-Fi hardware's cheap.
What's that?
Wi-Fi hardware's cheap.
Well, I mean, it's cheap, but when you think about Verizon, if they bought 15 million access points, you know, that's not cheap.
Right. Well, quantity, of course, comes into play.
Yeah, so I'm saying, you know, if Verizon decides, okay, there's no money in this, and then they decide to, you know, sell or donate this equipment to one of these other services that's free, maybe that would work. But I couldn't see Verizon maintaining it for free.
Just, we'll give that a very distant possibility. How about that? Here's, this one is, oh no, actually, I skipped one here. Number 37, end broadband monopolies. You can't get DSL without first signing up with a local phone bureaucracy for a line you want used. Hey, thank you! Thank you, someone else, for saying that. I've been bitching about that since episode one, how much I hate Bell South.
Yep.
I don't need the phone line. I just want DSL.
Yeah, I said the same thing to Verizon here. I called them up, and I said, all I want is DSL. I don't want any phone service. They said, well, you can't do that.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to use the phone. Whatever. Mm.
I'm glad that's in print. That's a good one. And you know what the last sentence is? It says, this is deregulation with a question mark?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. Wow. I was getting ready to say that this next one's for you. 38 is one that's right up your alley. 37 ended up being one that I was 38, you'll appreciate this. Simplify URLs. Why can't, and they give this big, long URL, amazon.com/blah, blah, code number equals this, ampersand this, blah, blah. Why can't that be like two or three / Amazon, / book, / title, etc.? And I know the reason I say this relates to you because I know you like tiny URL.
Yeah, tiny URL is awesome.
Yeah, I know you like tiny URL for something similar.
Yeah.
So they're saying simplify URLs. Great idea. Reality check. Actually, some of these can be simplified by get versus post.
Yep.
Some of them.
Yeah. But then again, some of them won't work unless you have all that information. So if you pass somebody a URL that takes a bunch of post data, it's not going to show up. So, I mean, a lot of that stuff is functional. If you have a large database like Amazon does, you're...
Even so, I think you can use... I think it depends on what powers the database, what database they're using. I think Amazon an Oracle client?
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on the databases you use and the interface you use with it. I know you can use JSP to pass a lot of that stuff without cluttering up the URL.
Right, but you wouldn't be able to pass that URL around. You know, the information has to be in the URL.
Oh, right. I see what you're saying. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So without that, you know, I could see why some URLs are so long. But, I mean, like, my URL for npa.php, it's just too long just because it's a pain in the ass. I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for that. But for Amazon, I could see why those things need it because, they tie into a database directly. So.
Well, again, not to give out too much about your thing, but you will soon have a much easier way.
Yes, much, much easier way to get to the site, although we'll have to change a whole bunch of redirects, but we'll figure it out.
Nah, easy subdomain.
Yeah.
Number 39, upgrade to IPv6.
Oh, yeah. That needs to be done as soon as possible.
Yeah. I was getting ready to say it's pretty obvious, let's not talk about it, but I tell you what, why don't you explain why?
Well, first of all, because we're running out of IP addresses. If we're not out already, I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the status, but...
When I first started getting into... networking and stuff like that for clients. It was real easy to get a Class C subdomain, 255 IP addresses, no problem. But now it's a real pain. If you want a whole bunch of IP addresses, you're either going to pay a whole bunch of money for them, or you have to have an ISP that has a bunch of them left over. So if we went to IP version 6, we'd have hundreds and hundreds of trillions. I mean, even more than that. It's like 2 to the 128 IP addresses. We'd have all those available as opposed to 2 to the 32. So that would solve a whole bunch of problems. And I could have IP addresses for everything, but
and
now
that's
I can't
because
we have crappy old IP version 4.
Right, and that's one of the things that they're saying is going to push another, not technical revolution, but industrial revolution is by having enough IP addresses to go around, you can start giving IP addresses and networking and connecting a lot more things besides just computers. They're going to have smart appliances is something we've heard, intelligent appliances, we've heard that buzzword.
Yeah.
Things like Coke machines and stuff like that will be given an IP address that they can remotely access and stuff like that. So cell phones can each be given a unique IP address, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so that would be very useful.
Not only would that be useful, from a hacking standpoint, oh, the possibilities.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Everything would be pinpointed, and you could, hack away at the Coke machine, the cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Whew. From a purely selfish standpoint, yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, no more network address translation for me. Just straight IP on everything.
Number 40, and I guess we'll probably have to end on this one. Number 40, and actually I don't quite understand this one. Let's see. Big Music Follow the Money. That's what the title is. Says 8 of 9 adults beyond student age still pay for songs instead of ripping them. Big Music Follow the Money. So I guess what they're saying is target them instead of targeting kids.
I don't know.
I'm not sure what his point is there. I think he's saying that they need to target adults since they're the ones that pay for their songs and not rip them. Target people who don't have the technical abilities. Not sure exactly about that one. Actually, I'm not going to end on that. Let's try number 41. Number 41 is Free the Archives. Require that copyright owners re-register works after 50 years and put everything else up for grab. The Magic Kingdom gets to keep Mickey Mouse while archivists can digitalize deteriorating unclaimed files without fear of lawsuits. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea.
I think that's great, great idea, because there's a lot of stuff that needs to go into public domain or we lose it. This is, I mean, not to sound too corny, but I mean, sometimes this is a case of our history and losing our culture. Pop culture, it may be, but some of our culture and some of our history. So I think that's a brilliant, brilliant idea. And I'll tell you even an example. It hasn't been 50 years, but I'll give you somewhat of an example that's kind of close to home for me, and that's Mystery Science Theater, a show that I love that's no longer on the air. It's also not exactly something popular, something that they're releasing DVDs of all of these episodes and all of these movies. If they did, I would buy them. I have every episode that they ever released on DVD. I bought them, and I have some on videotape that they released. But the show was on for 10 or 12 years, I guess, and they haven't all been released on DVD, and the odds are they probably never will. So something like that is going to eventually disappear into nothingness, and we will lose what is, in my opinion anyway, my personal, you know, I know it's just something I like, and there's probably others like me. I don't want to lose the show, and if I can have digital archives legally without fear of repercussion from copyright law, that's a fantastic thing. Fantastic thing. And not to mention literary. We think movie and music or something. Just think of all the novels and famous books and stuff like that that could be digitized into PDFs and kept on CDs for, you know, generations and generations.
Yeah, I think this is an excellent idea.
Infinite, infinite possibilities. I like that one. That's a good one to end on. That's a good one to end off. We will pick up with the next one next week. So, we are going to close out this week. I found a live show bootleg for tonight's closing music from one of my personal favorites, nerdcore hip-hop artist himself, MC Frontalot. It's a live show bootleg of a track that I had never heard before, so I hope that the listeners, this will be a new one to you, and it's called Rewind. Actually, I think he does have that one available, not so obscure, but live show bootleg of it, which is an interesting version. If you want to contact us, you can email us at radio@benrev.com. And do you have any shout-outs? I'll give you first dibs. You got any shout-outs tonight?
Yeah, I got first shout-outs to Duel, obviously, for getting me that top-secret domain name. let me think. Havoc from Poland. This guy, new guy on the board. He's telling me about freaking payphones in Poland, and it's some pretty crazy stuff.
See, I love hearing from people in other countries. It's great perspective on things.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I spoke to Havoc, too.
He's got some serious payphone skills out there, so... Cool. Let me think. I guess Decoder and Majestic for Statue today. That's it for me.
Well, I will second the shout outs to Dual Parallel, Radio Freak America. There's going to be I tell you what, my shouts go to Dual Parallel. Listen to RFA episode 99. Coming up, I guess, let's see, he'll have 98 this week, 99, so next week, episode 99 will be a special episode. Tune in and listen to episode 99 to find out why. Shout-outs to Dual Parallel. And that is it for me. Another, man, I'm telling you, we've had some pretty good shows lately. That was a good show, a lot of stuff. I controlled my language for the most part.
Yeah, we did all right on the line.
I tried. I don't know. You know.
Fortunately, I was really looking forward to going crazy and cursing.
I know. Well, you know, maybe that's what we'll do to celebrate our next milestone. If we make it to 50, if we make it to another milestone, we'll have the all cursing, all you want episode or something.
Yeah, all we have to do is record the bridge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, well, that went over real well. That was... See, you know, people cut... Yeah, we know each other. We can make these kind of jokes and play around and... I don't know if they make for good playing outside of that circle, though.
Well, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, whatever, that should be our theme song. But all I'm going to say is that we will see everyone next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Alright, this one's called Rewind.
I need that.
Drinking page out the rusty cut, shredded it, embedded a sample that didn't fit. Tell me I'll regret it.
You'll regret it.
I already did. Sitting on the edge of a cliff, I'm differentiating hating from loving something from nothing. I'm puffing on the ashes of a long lost friend. I couldn't bend for prophecy, the end for couldn't bend for rumbling more attention to her after the fact. When I'm actually wishing that I actually could we sort of rewind that back. Don't you ever wish you could rewind that back and take it over? Change up the hot but the cold, or don't you ever wish you could rewind that back and take it over? Change the hot for the hurt. Change up my style ahead of time. What am I? Your psychic pal Dion, severing everything, telling them I'm not to sing the song. Romanticizing regrets when every epitaph's made up of epithets. Safe bet, someday you're gonna wish you'd done otherwise. Sank down in some other thighs, irritated some other guys, sang somehow some more soothing lullabies. And I sense tears are on the earth, tears are on the earth. Oh, the verge of overflow. And so I make hands, cause MC front and never look back. Everything that I've ever done was right on track. And in fact, I'll never be regretting something. I hope you don't think I'm fronting.
You? Nah.
Did you ever wish you could rewind that back and take it over? Change up the hot for the cold. Don't you ever wish you could rewind that back and take it over? Trade a yes for the no, sir. Don't you ever wish you could rewind that back and take it over? Change up the hot for the cold. Or don't you ever wish you could rewind that back? Take it on. Trade a yes for the no.
Wow.
I knew I should have rehearsed that one. Okay, then we got one more for you here.
Six more.
One more.
He doesn't have any other songs.
You don't know the thing where the encore is secret.
Dude, one more!
Secret. One more song! No! Yes, that's very amusing, Bloom. Everyone here is applauding your comedy stylings.